Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs and our segment of In the Weeds with Walter Sullivan. Walter, always great to be here and a great morning we have so far.
We've been having so much fun.
I'll introduce our next guest, Curtis Howes. He's co-founder, president, and CEO of VI3. Fascinating business. Curtis, welcome to Radio Entrepreneurs.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thanks, Walter.
Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your business and what it is you guys do?
Well, we're really a data company, but we provide innovation, intelligence, and insight, and we connect brand owners with their products in a way that helps them protect their brand. In other words, branded products, whether that be consumer electronics, cannabis products, footwear, apparel, is counterfeited around the world as you develop a brand protection, a brand identity. Any brand that has an identity that has any value is being counterfeited. The counterfeit business around the world is well in excess of $1 trillion, and that is robbery. That robs the brand owners of their intellectual property, their marketing investment, their development investment. So what we do is we help brand owners protect their products on a global basis.
So give us a little more detail of how that works. What is the product? Is there a product process?
It's a product and a process because we use standardized two-dimensional barcodes, and radio frequency identification tags or NFC chips are part of the product and the manufacturing process. So I have teams of people on a global basis that go into manufacturing facilities, whether it be in China, Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Indonesia, and we actually install our system in the factories where products, genuine products, are manufactured. And then we give them a global unique identity such that a consumer or a brand owner can identify that product anywhere in the world using a smartphone. And we also will be able to authenticate the product. And so we control the numbering and we control the scanning. We collect over 3 million scans a day throughout the world, including consumer scans and product scans by brand protection people, as well as in the factories themselves. So we know when a purchase order begins manufacturing, we know when a purchase order completes manufacturing, we know when that product ships, whether it ships to a retail location or to a distribution center. And we're able to track it and trace it and authenticate it, on a global basis.
Fascinating. So market intelligence as well?
Market intelligence.
Manufacturers and purveyors know where their products are actually ending up?
Actually ending up, and if they end up in the right place. Mm-hmm. Now, particularly in the cannabis market, as the market develops, certainly right now, it's not necessarily a big problem given the inability to trade across states, interstate commerce. But as you know, Oregon is in the process of changing the laws for their own state, so they'll be able to conduct interstate commerce in the cannabis market. As that further develops and as it goes national, which we all anticipate it will, there's going to be a need to protect your products from the bad guys. As the bad guys continue to see their market position slip in the cannabis marketplace and the commercialization continues, they're going to be wanting to regain part of their market that they've lost. So they'll go after products that are selling well and steal the brand. Take some of their own product, which may be substandard, relabel it as the actual product of a well-known brand that's been developed across the nation, counterfeit it, and introduce it into the marketplace, whether it be in legitimate channels or illegitimate channels. And we hope to be the company that helps stop those people.
This is a real thing.
This is real.
This happens in every industry.
Yes, it does. If you have any value in your brand, it's getting counterfeited.
Now, Jonathan, as you know, working with clients and helping them with branding, marketing, developing their business, you know, everyone talks about branding. But do they really understand it, and do they understand brand protection? Curtis, why don't you explain why there is a need for this in the cannabis business and the importance of it?
The importance is that you may come to a point in the market where you have to prove that a particular product is yours. I mean, you may want to limit your own product liability because you don't know what the bad guys are putting into their product when they counterfeit your label. And whatever they're going to be selling under the counterfeit label of your trademark could be, you know, laced with different types of dangerous drugs instead of just the cannabis.
Right, and because it's such a highly controlled, highly regulated,
highly
industry,
controlled,
anything coming in from abroad potentially is not, or even domestically produced.
Absolutely. The other thing is current systems in the marketplace that they use for tracking and tracing, whether it be the plant itself or the packaged product, there's no benefit to the brand owner. I mean, it's just particularly known as a way to make sure you pay your proper taxes. Yes, those types of programs are not intended to protect the brand owner. Mm. They're intended to protect the state or the tax collection. Mm. Yes. Mm. What we're talking about is protecting a brand owner who makes a big investment in their brand. I mean, right now, a lot of the growers are only concentrating on getting their fields up and running, right? Getting their grow operations functional, finding a way to package their products. By the way, packaging is going to change too. It's already starting to morph into, you know, automated right, types of packaging.
Commercially
viable,
high production.
Instead of having a cutting room,
right.
You know, you're going to have a machinery room that's going to be doing your cutting and packaging.
No longer the Ziploc baggies.
No longer the Ziploc baggies that you got around your university, yeah.
Now, you do this in other industries as well, and part of what, as a result of what you do, not only can you help your clients keep from counterfeit, but you can also locate potentially where that's occurring.
Oh, that's correct. Here, one of the things that we're very careful about, though, is personal identifying information. So, you know, we don't ever ask for personal identification information from somebody that's scanning a product, but the way we label, the way we mark and tag products, a consumer can scan them with their smartphone. And we can direct that communications link to the brand owner. So now what we have is we have a way for the brand owner to connect directly to their marketplace, to their consumer of their products. Mm-hmm. None of the other systems in the market today that are currently being used for tracking and tracing can do that.
Does that also allow a consumer to authenticate a brand?
Is that
a step down the road?
That's a step down the road. What we like to do is we're not going to tell the consumer, the brand owner is not going to tell the consumer, hey, you got a genuine product in your hand, because that will create a position of uncertainty and doubt. Mm. But what we do in the background is when a product would be scanned with a unique identifier with a smartphone by a consumer, not only do we put in place the communications link from the brand owner to the consumer, in the background, we're checking the authenticity of that particular unique identifier and if it's in the correct spot. Okay. So in other words, we'll know where it was supposed to be shipped to, we'll know what lot it was tied to, we know when it was manufactured and packaged, and we'll be able to tell you, hey, that scan was intended for a product, let's say in New York City, but that scan just took place in Singapore. Hmm. I mean,
so that $50 Rolex on the sidewalk on Fifth Avenue is not authentic?
Probably not.
Well, and that's very interesting.
Am I making sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. This isn't just about brand protection from counterfeiting, it's also about... You know, a distributor purchases the product in Massachusetts, but then is distributing in New York.
Correct. So it's about diversion. It's about brand protection. It's about diversion. It's about consumer interfacing. It's also a way to limit product liability. I mean, we haven't encountered a lot of this, but when we talk about brands spending a lot of money and establishing their name on a national and an international basis, there's a great incentive to want to be able to protect your brand and protect yourself from any type of liability where, for instance, a consumer gets hurt with a counterfeit product and they said, hey, this came from company ABC. ABC says, oh no, that was not mine.
No, it's interesting. In Massachusetts, you know, although we're not interstate yet.
Not yet.
A marijuana retail establishment can also sell to another marijuana retail establishment. So if you're a product manufacturer or a cultivator, you might have a retailer buying excess amount and then redistributing to reduce costs. That hurts your business because now all of a sudden you're not getting that profit.
Correct. You may get part of your margin, but you're not getting your profit. Yeah. The other thing that we're able to do with our system and that we've got is that, Jonathan and Walter, is that when we connect the brand owner to the consumer, we can also, we'll be able to know what that product is, we'll know when it was manufactured, we'll know what we're shipped to, but we can also, therefore, allow the brand owner now to communicate with the consumer and talk, if I could use that word, about the product. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, you know, I've not been into a lot of retail establishments, but I've been to Nevada, Washington State, you know, I've been here. And one of the things I noted is, you know, you've got bud tenders, right? And they tell you about something. But the fact of the matter is, if we had the packaging marked with the symbology the way that we do it, then they could scan it, and then that brand owner could connect the consumer to a library of information about the product. Mm. In other words, it could be online, in their handheld device. When you're buying this particular gummy, a gummy bear, you can find out about it rather than have to just get a verbal download from the bud tender or some other placard that may be there or may not be there. you can have
and
it loaded.
For individual bias by the particular bartender.
Absolutely, yeah. So you get the straight skinny, is what we used to call that, information regarding the product.
Well, and I would think from a manufacturer's perspective in that particular instance, I mean, I've, you know, full disclosure, seen instances where you walk into a place and the guy says, well, I don't know, I smoke dope, you know, all day long. So, you know, what's going to affect you isn't going to be the same with me, same with the gummy. So at least the manufacturer can say, hey, this is the way it's
that's correct.
This is what the dosage is, etc. And you're not relying on some guy that uses the product all day long.
That's actually really an extra level of public health and public safety.
Yeah, so fascinating.
What's the incentive for a consumer to scan?
The incentive for the consumer to scan is, by the way, a lot of people have scanned products anyhow. They're looking for a way to buy, they'll want to do a price comparison so they can buy it on Amazon, if I can say that, online. Or they'll, you know, want to, you know, do something else with that. But, you know, the brand owner itself could introduce some type of incentive to the consumer to scan. So there could be a marketing message or a discount. There could be all kinds of things that that brand owner can make available to that consumer for scanning the product.
And you walk into a lot of liquor stores today and so forth, is that if you take, you know, they have scanners, and if you take the product and you scan it, it also provides you with mechanism what foods are best to serve.
Sure, Walter. That's right.
And that gets more loyalty to your product.
Absolutely. So you get consumer loyalty. That's right. So we introduce innovation into the sales channel and into the brand owner's environment, as well as the insight into their consumer and also intelligence on the data. In other words, you can collect the information. You know, where was the scan taking place at? Where are your products ending up at? So there's a lot that our system brings to the table. I mean, we're doing this already. Like I said, we, you know, 3 million scans a day. And we have helped some of our brand owners close numerous counterfeit factories around the world and I'll just say remove from the marketplace over $150 million of counterfeit products in a year.
We get into a lot, you know, we talked about this a little earlier, but you know, businesses get into wants and needs. You know, do I want this? Do I need this? They tend, especially in the beginning of the business, they tend to only go to their needs and not their wants. How do you explain this as, is it a want or a need, and the reason why it is a need?
Oh, I'm glad, Walter, you asked me that question. Thank you. You're a straight man, right? So. Well, first of all, if I'm a grower right now, I'm only worried about growing my product and getting it to the market. But as I develop my marketplace and as I spend a lot of money on my brand and as I, you know, file trademarks and as I go across state lines, I need to protect myself. Right now, I might not worry about it. But if you don't start protecting yourself right now, it might be too late later. Your brand could get destroyed, somebody could steal it, organized crime could come in through a back door. So you need to be proactive in protecting your investment. Your investment's just not in your seed, just not in your building. Your investment is in your name and the brand of your product, and that's what we help them do.
I think it'd be foolish to think that someone isn't going to try to
they're absolutely
counterfeit your
brand. Absolutely going to knock off their product. You're not just counterfeiting, but you know, you've got the gray market, and then there's also the market intelligence that you can obtain. So it's a multifaceted, multivariable type of solution to a lot of different problems.
That's what I was going to say. You're really offering a broad spectrum of service within a product offering.
Absolutely.
That has a lot of applicability.
Absolutely. Marketing, consumer connection, brand protection, diversion control. I mean, you name it. There's a lot of things. Sometimes you have a difficulty selling a solution like this, mm-hmm. because you have to be able to deal with people at a very senior level in an organization. The C-suite executives need to understand what the problems are they're currently facing and what the problems they may face next week, next month, next year.
Absolutely.
I mean, you've been doing this industry for a long, doing this type of work for a long time.
I've been doing work for a long, long time, Walter.
Can you give an example of a brand that did not follow this type of suggestion?
I would rather not mention any of the brands on okay.
Let me give an example of the loss. I mean, I think, you know, you pointed out $150 million of counterfeit, you know, that just in a magnitude. If you think about it, if one manufacturer turning out $10 million of knockoff product, how that impacts a brand owner.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, you can let your imagination run wild. That's just the financial impact. That's not the impact upon that you would face upon people who buy counterfeit products and think they're buying the real thing. The consumer has an expectation wherever they buy their product that it's going to be real. And if it fails or if it causes illness, you know, or causes an accident, they go and go straight to the brand owner, who they perceive as the brand owner. And so this is one of the other protections that we can provide them.
In this new industry, there's such a great risk of that. I mean, we see this with the FDA, TTB, talking about whether to regulate this as a food or not. Right now, cannabis side of it, relative to marijuana, is still a controlled substance. But they have legalized hemp. But there's still a push as to whether they're going to allow CBD to add.
I mean, there's big problems. Yeah, there's big problems coming because as people move out of the grow operations in buildings and they go into open 75-acre fields and people, somebody down the road is growing hemp and you're growing, your bud is sweet. Right. And, you know, there's this cross-fertilization, pollinization that can occur. You know, there's all kinds of different things that you have to be thinking about as you protect yourself and your operation.
Fascinating stuff. Curtis, if our business owners out there want to get in touch with you, learn more about your products and your services that you offer, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
VI3Global.com.
Excellent. Our guest has been Curtis Howes, co-founder, president, and CEO of VI3. It's been a pleasure having you on In the Weeds, and we will be right back with another segment.
Thanks, Curtis.